This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wang Xiaoning. It is 7:37 in the morning, Wednesday the 23rd of October. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill where Julian Ng, you will be speaking with Sigal Altman, CEO of Medix.
That's right. Medix Global wants to democratize healthcare, giving you full information and control of your health situation by using data and technology like wearables. Pricing would be of interest, so would data privacy. And I'm also going to ask her views on the various healthcare policies we're seeing from developed economies. Universal healthcare, for example, is hotly debated right now in the US Dem debate. So that's Sigal Altman, founder and president of Medix Global.
Interesting stuff, and that's going to be happening after the 8 o'clock news, so be sure to stay tuned. In the meantime, bringing you some international headlines this morning. The high cost of living is a hot issue over here in Malaysia, but over in Chile, the issue has boiled over into widespread violent protests across the country since the past weekend.
Now, the protests were actually triggered by a hike in subway fares in Santiago, but have grown into a broad reckoning about the inequality and Chile's economic policies. Now, Chile is one of South America's wealthiest nations, and actually frequently tops the region's economic prosperity indices. So GDP there is $298 billion in 2018, with the GDP per capita also some $20,000 in 2018.
But Chile also does have one of the highest inequality levels among OECD countries, and people are starting to show their anger and frustration in the streets. So for a better understanding of what's going on over there in Chile, we turn this morning to Dr. Jennifer Pribble, Assistant Professor of Political Science, since she specializes in Latin American Studies at the University of Richmond. Thank you for joining us this morning, Jennifer. Now, Chile is known as one of the most prosperous and politically stable countries in South America, yet it also has very high levels of inequality. Why has this state of affairs festered to this point?
Good morning. It's nice to speak with you. I think if to understand these protests, we really need to go back to the moment of Chile's transition to democracy in 1990. And we look at that transition, it's what we think of as a pacted transition, which means that the exiting authoritarian regime of Augusto Pinochet was able to write its prerogatives and write some protections into the constitution and the political institutions that took over. And those institutions limited representation. And importantly, the political actors who came to occupy those institutions were very worried about a democratic rollback, about the military coming back to power. And they were very convinced that they needed to protect the neoliberal economic model and tread lightly. And so they built parties that explicitly tried to limit participation and debate. And the center-left parties that ruled in Chile in the 90s and early 2000s, they engaged in a lot of important reforms, but fundamentally those reforms did not alter the underlying structures that the Pinochet regime had put in place in the economy and to the social model. And with time, people grew frustrated and alienated. Poverty declined significantly, but inequality stayed very, very high. And I think by 2011, we started to see the outcropping of protests, first in the form of student movement, large-scale protests by university students calling on the government to create a more equitable system of education. And then we saw mobilization of pensions and then feminist mobilization. And in all these cases, the parties were slow to respond. They tried to engage in reforms on the edges. But again, no real attempt to open up a debate over significant changes to the economic and social model. And I think with time, these disparate protest groups grew so frustrated that it boiled over into what we're seeing today in the streets of Santiago, which is really unprecedented.
So, Dr. Jennifer, I mean, this has got shades of Hong Kong, whose protests actually ballooned from that simple extradition bill to demanding more democratic rights. And with Chile, right now, it started with a simple metro fare hike, which morphed into more demands for equality. What do you think the policymakers can do immediately to assuage the protesters?
Yeah, I think it's a very difficult call because the protesters, this clearly isn't just about the transport hike. It's talked about many, many issues, and different groups are issuing different demands. Some are angry about pensions, some are angry about education, some are angry about public security or corruption. And so I think at this point, things have gotten to the level that it will be hard for the political class to respond. And the response will have to be big. It cannot be a policy reform. I think they're going to have to look at wage policy, pension policy, education policy. I think they're going to have to take up seriously constitutional reforms, which people have been clamoring for quite some time. And more generally, they're going to have to make the case that this is something new and different, that they're trying to forge a new social pact, and they're going to have to invite lots of actors to the table and act and sort of embrace ideas and take debate quite seriously.
And do you think that the U.S. interests can be a spoiler in this case? I mean, Pinochet a long time ago was being egged on by the Friedman from the Chicago School. And conspiracy theories also say that the U.S. is now spoiling in Maduro's government in Venezuela. How important do you think is the U.S. interest over there in Chile?
Yeah, that's an interesting question and has, of course, deep historical roots. If we look at the destabilization of the Allende presidency, the socialist president that ruled in Chile from 1970 to 73, the U.S. played a crucial role in destabilizing that administration, and it's helping bring about the military coup that ousted Allende from office. At that time, it was really U.S. investment interest in the mining sector that pushed the U.S. and Cold War interest to push the U.S. to get involved. I think we're at a different historical juncture. The U.S. Has a lot of political problems of its own. It's rather distracted from foreign policy, particularly in the area of Latin America. So I'm not anticipating a lot of pushback. I'm also not anticipating a radical socialist experiment in Chile. I think what people are looking for is a more robust social welfare system, but in a democratic context and in a free market economy, but with regulations in which the state intervenes to assure a certain standard of living.
And Dr. Jennifer, there are similar protests against the cost of living in Ecuador and Argentina recently. Do you see protests spreading further in South America, and are there concerns that these protests will be prolonged?
So I think we are seeing a lot of protests. Of course, last night we saw protests breaking out in Bolivia as well. So at the regional level, there is concern, but I don't think it's concern about sort of a spillover effect or that there's some kind of outside force driving this. In the case of Ecuador, there were claims that this was being fueled by Maduro in Venezuela. That is not the case. What I think we are seeing is that region-wide, Latin America saw big gains in the early 2000s during the commodity boom, but growth has slowed. And in some places, austerity measures are being enacted. That was the case in Ecuador. And we're in a situation now where these democracies are more mature than they were in the 1990s during the last wave of austerity. Social organizations are better organized, and society is pushing back against these austerity policies. And so I'm not sure that it's spillover, but I do think we're likely to see, in terms of economic downturn, more instability as citizen groups claim their rights and claim a certain standard of living.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Jennifer. That was Dr. Jennifer Pribble, Assistant Professor of Political Science at the University of Richmond, talking to us about the situation over there in Chile, which, despite the fact that it does lead the table, so to speak, amongst the Latin American countries for political stability as well as prosperity, is facing problems of high inequality as well as high dependence as well on commodities, because Chile's top export is copper as well as a refined copper, and they haven't been able to divorce themselves from that just yet. Nevertheless, an ongoing situation. Right now, we have for you a few messages, and then after that, we'll be coming back with some local stories. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.